Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Tampa Rays can wrap up the victory here in hopefully short order. Welcome to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And if you're listening to us now, it means you're listening on your smart device or you're listening to us over the internet at am660theanswer.com. In either case, we want to really, really thank you very, very much for doing that. That means you have gone the extra mile to be able to listen to us every day if you're capable and able to do that. So once again, thanks for being with us. We're here. We're live. As soon as the Rays wrap it up today, hopefully, like I said, with a victory, they just took the lead. They're playing in Boston today. It's been a long game, a lot of runs scored, a lot of, well, questionable pitching.
Do you know the score, Chris, right now?
It is now 9-8.
That's probably more runs than they've scored in cumulative for the first
for the
7-8
most part
games.
Of the year,
you know?
That's right.
Maybe they're breaking out. That's what every coach wants. So hopefully this is the breakout.
If they can get a victory out of it.
But you remember, Chris, late in the year when you and me were talking, the best home run hitter had 11 home runs. How did he win? Oh, that's right. They don't win.
They didn't have any batting last year, and this year they don't have any pitching, at least not yet anyway. Even their ace last night got knocked around.
Yeah, he got waxed.
And now
that's Archer.
Yeah, he started 0-4. I didn't want to name any names, but now that you did.
Well, he's a pro. Pros are there for good and bad.
All right, so we're going to do the show, and when we do go back up on the airwaves, we'll, of course, recognize that. So if you prefer to listen on the airwaves, we'll let you know. In the meantime, I am Christopher Hart. That other voice you heard was, of course, the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We also have some other great guests, well, actually great co-hosts with us here today. One, of course, would be the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, our very own Colonel Danny McKnight. Colonel, thank you once again for being with us.
Happy to be here, even though we're not on the big show yet. We'll be in a little bit.
We will be in a little bit. Also with us today is Rick Brown, local businessman, recovering politician.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
There you go. And on the bridge is Nick LoCicero. 407-774-8255 is still the number, even though the Rays are up on the big stick, so to speak. But we're going to go ahead and see if we can get our contest rolling here. And we know that some of you are out there. This would be an opportunity, perhaps, for you to set the pace and get in early.
Right. They could sneak in the door before the rest begin.
That's
Know, usually the rush comes after 6 o'clock. So.
That's right. That's right.
Are you ready for the rules, Chris?
Let's hear the rules. And I got a pick.
That's right. You have a position in this one.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is in this contest, a few days ago it was announced that only 6% of the public trusted the media. I'm surprised it's that high, which I'm sure we all are, right?
Yeah, you got to wonder, now, who are they?
I know.
Who
are
that 6%?
Yeah, that people, that many stupid people out there, right? You know,
unless they are the people who listen to us.
That's true. Somebody has to be their guiding light, right? Well, what we want you to do is give us your choice of the most distrustful media personality out there. And an example. My first selection is that pig, Candy Cowley. Oh, that's right, Crowley. And as you know, what she did to Romney will never be forgotten and probably pretty much sunk the guy's election because he didn't fire back at her like Trump would have. So she's my first one as the most distrustful. My second one is the guy I think is the coolest looking guy I've ever seen. Al Army Flat Top Sharpton. I think this is a guy he owes America $4.5 million in taxes. You know, the guy's a complete charlatan to all the people he deal with. And the real sad thing about it, he's a complete joke and he shouldn't be on TV. But that's my two.
That's Reverend Flat Top.
Yeah, Reverend Flat Top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please show respect here.
Doesn't it look like a pumpkin on his head? I mean, on the top of his suit. I'd love to see an Army Flat Top on him.
By the way, we looked into how he became a reverend,
right? Because one night we were talking about it, and I was going, Reverend, where did he get his, you know, where did he get that, right?
Mail order.
So,
$35.
Nostradamus looked it up. Yep. It's even worse than that. It was bestowed as an honorary thing from, I think it was like Bethune-Cookman College.
I could believe that.
Wow. It was. And
he certainly jumped on it, didn't he?
Oh, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Yeah. What religion is that, right?
Wonder if he could be like the Pope. Pope Al Sharpton. No, that would be too...
I'm more reverend than he is, you know. Oh, I mean, yeah. I've done 6 weddings, and they're all legal. And they're all legal, every one of them, you know.
You could probably go to the prison up in Rayford and find people more reverend than him doing time, right?
And you paid your taxes.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I didn't like it, but I did. You're right.
So, anyway, that's our contest rules. So, if you want to get in and get this thing started, just give us a call. Who do you think is the most untrustworthy media personality?
Chris, you have one right now, right?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, get
right now? Okay. All right. It's little Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos.
That's a good one.
Right?
I like that.
Because he's such a sellout to the Clintons.
Yeah, he is a total sellout.
And he was, I mean, to say that this guy is a journalist... is to say that I'm a rocket scientist, right? It's just because of his connections with the Clintons. He sits on the board, or he used to sit on the board of the Clinton Foundation, has been a contributor to the Clinton Foundation, and yet proposes to be an objective journalist, right? So it's got to be Stephanopoulos to me.
Didn't he interview them just in the last couple of days?
This morning.
That's right. Good Morning America.
Yep. It was her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was on Good Morning America with Robin and George, you know. And I just turned the sucker off. I can't watch it. I can't either.
No. He's there to, let's just say, lay the groundwork for the liberal argument. Like he did, you talked about Romney. Remember it was in the debate that he posed the question about contraceptives and suddenly and Romney was flustered. He didn't know, nobody's asking about that. And all of a sudden, you know, and he didn't really know how to just sort of end it right there. And, of course, it became part of the war on women. You know, mime storyline. So it's, you know, the guy is a snake, and so he'd be my pick anyway. So
that's a good one there, Chris. I wouldn't have thought of him, even though now that you mentioned it, he would go right to the top pretty quickly, you know.
Yeah. So that'd be my pick anyway. So, all right. And by the way, if you are listening, that means many of you, if not all of you, have downloaded the WORL FM AM app. And in that case, we want to invite you to participate in tonight's poll question, which is, Nick LoCicero, what, please? Is Nick with us still?
Yeah, sorry. I was just screening some calls. We're getting some contest entries in.
Excellent.
But before we get to that, we'll go over our poll question first. Of course, we talked about the change in the $20 bill. Harriet Tubman will now be the face of the $20 bill. So we were asking, let me get the exact question up here. So what I want to know is if they picked the correct bill, in your opinion. Which bill would you have liked to seen remade with Harriet Tubman? Well, apparently Mike's along the lines of Ben Carson's comments there. So there you go.
That's right. So
I listed all the different nominations from 1 to 100 there. So far, here are our results. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Wasn't quite ready.
That's okay.
So there we go. Got the new result. All right. Refresh the results here. Looks like 10%, the $50 bill with Ulysses S. Grant has 10% of the vote. 30% of the vote is actually going to Ben Franklin on the $100 bill.
No, not Ben.
Yeah.
No.
50% of the vote right now is agreeing with the choice that they made, the $20 bill in Jackson. And 10% of the vote is the $10 bill, Alexander Hamilton.
Which is what it was supposed to be originally.
Right.
And some people credit that Broadway
play. Sort of a confusing question, Nick. You know, I mean, it has to be yes or no.
They seem to be sorting it out.
I know. What is this? You know, we haven't gone that direction.
And the initial reaction is, oh, God, why are they doing this type thing? But, when you think about it, I don't know, in this particular case, like Andrew Jackson he's known as the founder of the Democratic Party. Right. And his logo from back then, the jackass, is what they use the logo today, to this very day.
He must go then.
And Harriet was a black woman Republican, evangelical Christian who loved her guns. She was a Bible and gun-clinging Christian who happened to be a black woman. All I'm saying is that if they do, when they make the change, that's supposed to be not until 2020,
yeah.
Right? So six, right. 4 years out. But assuming, let's say, they go ahead and make the change, all right? And so you're sporting about town, and you got some of your liberal friends with you, right? And you know they're not going to spend any money, so you pull out your cash to pay the bill or to give a tip or something. They go, oh, I see you got one of those new 20s. Oh, I just love it. And you can say, yeah, by the way, that was a Republican woman back then.
A gun-toting
evangelical Republican woman. What do you think about that?
That's right.
So maybe there's some ironic justice somehow involved in this thing, right?
And if you don't mind, real quick, I just want to clarify. Well, I didn't want to bring up the discussion argument if Harriet Tubman was the right choice, and that's why I went with that question. That was the choice that was made, and that was fine.
A little confession from the back room.
We're not going to get into that. That was the choice that was made. They were going to change one of our bills, so we're just going to ask which one do you think they should change.
I'll jump into that debate though.
The year 2020 is when they print, right? Well, I figure we'll be under such super inflation, we'll probably have a $1 trillion bill, so we'll put that pig Obama on the front of it.
That's what I was telling a buddy of mine today. Yeah.
Which one's he going to be on? Exactly.
I'm saying they should do it on the
$1 trillion. He wiped everybody out with super inflation.
I was saying, watch, they're going to put Obama on the $100 bill. At that time, that'll be the lowest denomination we'll have, right?
But they're already talking about two other changes, too.
Yeah. The 10, going back to the 10.
With three ladies.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King being on one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw that.
And then they're talking about the back of the five, I guess, having the three ladies on the back of the five. Yeah. You know, was there any conversation about adding a bill? There was a lot of conversation this week among folks I was talking to about actually putting Harriet Tubman and honoring her correctly and creating a new bill. You know, with the way things are costing these days, there was a lot of talk about a $25 bill or...
Well, actually, Carson kind of said that.
Did he?
Yeah, he said maybe the $2 bill have another denomination that you could put her on. It would have to be a denomination that would be practical, like a 25.
You're always making change.
But didn't a $2 bill have another connotation?
No, you're thinking of
$3 bill.
I'm getting my money mixed up. No wonder.
You know, when Obama was elected, there was a bunch of fake $3 bills that run around. Do you remember those with his face on them?
Yeah, that's funny.
And Mike, you need to quit making the $2 bills now that they really don't exist.
No wonder no one was cashing them on me. You know?
It's like our friend John Butler Book used to say, he makes all kind of money, but it's the kind you can't spend. Let's go to, is that Diane? Yeah, Diane, thanks for calling with the first contest entry tonight.
Hey, guys.
Howdy,
how are you?
I'm all for getting rid of Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson. You know, there's another thing, too, you know, and I mentioned this a little bit last night, and some other talk show hosts I noticed today were kind of talking around this. He openly defied the Supreme Court. He had managed to get through Congress something called, I think, the Indian Relocation Act.
Right.
And it was so that they could take land away from Native Americans.
The Trail of Tears.
That was what they did to the Cherokees.
Yep.
That's right. You mentioned, if you ever watched that movie with Clint Eastwood, The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a great movie.
Chief Lone Wadi.
Yep.
He talks about the journey. I think they called it the Journey of Tears. Mm-hmm. And he openly the Indians sued against the act, and I believe that it was the Cherokee and other tribes, and they won. They took it right up through the federal court system. The Supreme Court sided with them. Mm-hmm. And Jackson's famous quote was to the Supreme Court, "Okay, you made the decision. Now try to enforce it." And he had federal troops round him up and literally marched them by foot from the Carolinas and Georgia area, right up that triangle, where the three states kind of come together.
Yep.
And they still have a reservation there today, by the way. And they marched them by foot to Oklahoma and expected them to be able to set up their lifestyle.
Yeah, that's not... Those three states aren't too much alike.
Not at all.
You know, like Oklahoma is like a...
and like, I don't know, it was like two-thirds or three-quarters of them died along the way.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a terrible tragedy. So, yeah, and to this day, people who are Cherokees will not handle $20 bills.
No.
They will not take them at the bank. They will not spend them. They will not have anything to do with them.
You have any 20s on you? I'll take them, Chris.
Only the one you gave me.
Yeah.
All right, Diane, thank you, though. But anyway, you have an entry.
I do. All right, Dan Rather.
Oh, that's another
good one from the past.
Yes, and he's resurrecting the lie about Bush with his new movie, Truth.
That's right. That's right.
That's the name of his new movie, Truth?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a couple of new things. There's that movie coming out, and then there's the one coming about Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, which I think is actually going to be a series on TV, which is also full of lies and distortions. But, Dan Rather's another great one because he got actually caught
in
the lie.
Guy,
75 lies that they've caught on him for over 20 years. Yep,
75.
He's a real piece of work, that one.
He sure is. Excellent. Contest entry, Diane. Thank you for setting the pace. And thanks for the call.
All right.
We thank you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll find out what's going on with the Rays and come right back. And if you've got a contest entry like that, give us a call, 407-774-8255. All right, we're back up, at least on the internet for right now. The Rays and Boston Red Sox are in the ninth inning. The Rays are ahead. So hopefully they can close this thing out in short order with a victory today and head out of Boston on a high note. All right, and speaking of high notes, we are here. We are live, 407-774-8255. And we got our contest going. Who is, to you, the most untrustworthy journalist, quote-unquote, journalist out there? And Diane has officially set the pace with Dan Rather. 75 lies he's been noted for now. And, of course, the big one about Bush, the elder. So
it's so ironic if they caught him in 75 lies and the name of his movie is called The Truth.
Actually, it was about George W. Bush. I'm sorry. The Truth. Yeah. Anyway, we played a little bit of China Girl, which, of course, is a David Bowie song. And he passed away recently. Today we lost the little China girl. Actually, not so little. She was a pretty big girl.
She was a beast.
Yeah. China, the diva professional wrestler, and I don't know her real name right off the...
It's like Lori, like L-A-U-R-I, something like that.
Yeah, and but she was unfortunately found deceased in her hotel room, and it's a sad story. And she was on top of the world, and then it all just went away, and now at, what, 47 years old? 45 years old. Oh, there's her name. It was Joan Marie Laurer. Laurer was her last name, Joan Marie. And she was, I mean, she was a big deal, and she kind of changed the face of women's professional wrestling. Because up to her, you had Mae West, and you had, it was kind of the old guard was still around.
Right.
And they were much more the technical wrestlers, if you will. I mean, they prided themselves in traditional wrestling moves and actually getting in the ring and doing honest to God wrestling, all right? And today it's much more of what they call the bumps, where they're jumping and throwing one around and doing the somersaults and that sort of thing. And she kind of changed it to that.
Well, she had been a steroid baby.
In the sense that
her physique was way beyond whatever had walked into the ring.
Yeah, and that's what ended up catching up to her in the end. But that she set a different direction for women's professional wrestling, I think, at least at that level anyway. But it's a tragedy. And then Prince also, the artist formerly known as Prince can now be formerly known as Prince. I don't mean to make a joke out of it, but he also was found dead today, evidently in his house, just a couple of days after, I guess, he had gone to the hospital for some...
Supposedly the flu.
Said he'd been battling the flu for weeks.
And
I'm surprised he didn't take a Z-Pack or something.
Yeah.
not that I know much, but
I don't know.
It's that 4 or 5 week flu that'll get you every time.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes the flu-like symptoms are, you know, cover stories. We don't know.
I know.
But it's, you know, our condolences to their families and fans. And we're already out of time in this segment. So we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. We'll find out if the Rays can wrap this victory up and we can move on here tonight.
Series. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, and we're back, and the Rays are adding to their lead in the top of the ninth inning, so hopefully they'll wrap this thing up here in a few minutes and we can get up on the airwaves. But if you're listening now, we want to once again thank you. That means you have downloaded the free app or are listening over the internet. In either case, we really appreciate it. That means you are true fans, absolutely. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We also have in the studio with us Colonel Danny McKnight. Of course, he is also the author of the excellent book, Streets of Mogadishu. This should be, if I were a high school teacher or a college professor, this would be one of the books that I would require my students to read. Because it is not only about the operation in Mogadishu and how political correctness cost people their lives, but it is also about leadership and what it means to be a leader and what to look for in a leader. And it was written by a great leader. And you can get that book at DannyMcKnight.com. And also joined in the studio today by Rick Brown, local businessman. And he's going to be hosting a contest, and we'll be telling you a little bit more about that later on in the show when we get the Rays off the air and us up on the airwaves. But speaking of contests, we have our, should we call this, untrustworthy journalist contest going on today. Who do you think? This is based on a poll that just came out.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, we both realize that they say it's approximately 6% is actually trusted, you know, of the media, right? And we all would agree that's way too high a number. And it's a case that our contest is for you to name the national media individual that you distrust the most. And I got a tie between about 50 people. You know, but the reality is mine is Candy Cowley or Crowley. You know, she looks like a cow, but we'll call Crowley. But what she did, as I said, to me, it's unforgivable what she did to Romney. And that was really, that was about as low as you go. And but we have other people here who have some very good ideas.
Well,
Danny, do you have one?
I'm still thinking. I'll tell you.
There's a wide selection out there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just want to nail the right one, though.
Rick's got one.
I have one. How bad do you possibly have to be fired from MSNBC?
You got to be the worst.
Melissa, Victoria, Harris, Perry.
Oh, yeah, you got to get all those names in there. You don't want to get upset with us, right? All right?
That's right.
All right, that's a good one, too. Yeah, if you get fired by MSNBC, you got to be the lowest of the low. That is. That's a good one.
You're not kidding. You've got to be the bottom of the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, what would offend them? Other than their whole program, you know.
All right. Just a few minutes ago, we got a call from a caller who didn't want to go on the air, but asked the question in general, could we sort of explain the delegate process that we're going through right now with the presidential primaries? And it's kind of hard to explain because, for one, it's very convoluted, and for two, you have 50 different states plus some protectorates who all basically have their own way of doing things. But let me give some generalities here. First of all, the National Republican Party basically control, well, they host the convention. And it is at the convention where we choose actually the candidates. All right. This process that we're going through right now is sort of a pre-production of the main act, which will be at the convention. That's where the candidate will actually be chosen and be chosen by delegates. Now, the question then becomes, who and how do these delegates come to be there? And that's where you get into the weeds, so to speak, because as I said, it's different for each state. Each state has their own number of delegates. Each state has their own way of choosing the delegates. Each state has their own rules regarding what the delegates can and can't do when they get to the convention. But in essence, what happens is, like, let me take Florida for an example. When we held our primary back on, what was it, March the 15th, we voted for the candidates. And the candidates are awarded delegates based on that vote. And in Florida, it was a winner-take-all. So it didn't matter how much you had. You didn't have to have 50% plus one. You simply had to have the most votes. And you got all the delegates. And the way Florida has set up their rules for the delegates have to vote for now Donald Trump for at least they're required to for three ballots, the first ballot, second ballot, and third ballot. After that, they are, quote-unquote, released. Once they are released, they can vote for anyone that they want to, pretty much literally given the rules of the convention. Okay, that's where you get into the convention rules. To get back to the Florida delegates, though, the Florida delegates are bound for three ballots. After that, they can vote for anyone they want. This is why what Ted Cruz has been doing becomes a factor in all of this. Because should Donald Trump not get enough ballots, delegates to win on the first ballot, then other states where their delegates are only bound for one ballot will have those delegates freed up. Let's just take Florida once again for an example, though. Let's say you're a delegate. Let's say you are a party activist, and most of the delegates will either be office holders, state, national, local. It would be party people, maybe special volunteers that they get the bone tossed to them. And those usually go to the alternates. But it will be people who are involved with the party at a level beyond the common person who just votes and maybe gives money to the party. These are the people who actually go to meetings and do things. And they will be chosen as delegates for the most part. And then it is up to the candidate to try to see that those delegates actually are supporters of them. So it would have been, in Trump's case, the way the rules are set up, if he wanted to make sure that each delegate was a supporter of his, he would have to make sure that each delegate chosen was a supporter of his. And this is kind of what Ted Cruz has been doing. Well, this is exactly what Ted Cruz has been doing. He's been going state to state to state, and he started working on some of these states 2 years ago. And what he has been doing is, I'll call it massaging the process, taking advantage of the way the rules are set, in order to see that his supporters are chosen as delegates, knowing still that on the first, second, and third ballots here in the state of Florida, anyway, they will be required to vote for Trump. He understands that. This is why it's so important for him to make sure that Trump doesn't get the 1,237 he needs to win on a first ballot, because he knows now that in states around the country, he has his supporters are being appointed as the delegates. So as these delegates become freed up, the presumption is they'll pay him off by voting for him on later ballots. All right? This is all fair and square. What he's doing is totally fair and square. But to a lot of people, even though it may be playing by the rules, it's still screwed up.
Amen. I agree to that.
It's screwed up.
Chris, I heard an example today which was so disgusting. This was in Pennsylvania. You know, if you get the majority of votes, you get 17. Now it goes down to the delegates, right?
17 of about 80.
Right, but watch what this guy is on. He is a delegate, right? And they say to him, well, you know, when your district votes, what are you going to do if they all vote, let's say, for Trump? And he says, well, I'll just take in consideration who they vote for, but I'm going to make the final decision. What is that?
And you see, he is what's
called... And that is so undemocratic to think that these people who voted were soldiers and teachers, and they all go out, and then this little Caesar believes, well, I'll make the final decision. What?
Well, Rick, you used to deal with these people, right?
Yeah, that would turn my stomach.
Here in Central Florida, yeah. And that's kind of Little Caesar, may be a little harsh, but I mean, they look at it as though it's their game, it's their party.
Well, it is. Unfortunately, it is in a lot of cases. Yeah. That's what we're fighting against.
Yeah, and it's their party in one sense, but in another sense, it's not. Because they rely on the support of people who are registered as Republicans. They rely on people who send donations to the party. Do they not?
Yeah.
Exactly. These so-called unbound delegates are free to do anything that they want. And it's a very convoluted mess. And I hope that explained at least some of it to you. But in essence, it's each state can set their own rules. And the bottom line is the rules are designed to give the party apparatus the final say. And usually the final say is okay because they've manipulated the process to the point where their guy was the one chosen, like Bob Dole, like the Bushes, mm-hmm. like Mitt Romney, mm-hmm. like John McCain, you see? So none of this ever really came to be an issue because everything went as it was supposed to go. This time, it's not going as it's supposed to go. With Donald Trump, he's really messed up the whole process and now brought all of this convoluted mess out into the open for people to see it and go, this is crazy.
Well, remember the term party boss, too. And a lot of times the party boss isn't the guy that has the chairmanship.
That's very true.
It's the guy pulling the strings from the outside.
That's right. The one you never hear.
It happens in a lot of our local counties.
It does, indeed. It does, indeed. So that's...
Sometimes it's a lobbyist.
That's right. Yeah. People who are sort of on the fringe or the outside, mm-hmm. but are in the process, so to speak. But that's pretty much how it works, at least here in the state of Florida, and similarly in other states around the country. What could basically override all of this mess, though, would be if Trump were to get the 1237.
Right, and then we don't have to go through
and the game's over.
And the game's over, or at least get close enough that some of these unbound delegates would go for him.
Right.
And some of the unbound delegates in Pennsylvania have said that they'll go with whoever their district votes for or whoever the state votes for, at least on the first ballot.
The question is, could there ever be national legislation to just say, hey, all 50 states have to follow within the perimeters that the voters dictate who will get the delegates, and that's it, both on the Democratic and the Republican
Party. Yeah, I don't think there could be national legislation because the Supreme Court has already decided that states pretty much have the right to set their own rules with their election process and such as that. However, the parties already set down rules and guidelines at the national level. So they could, let's just say, beef that rules mm-hmm. and guidelines part up a little bit
right.
in order to sort of universalize. But see, the problem is the states will buck that, especially the states that vote later in the process, you see, because they want their votes to, they want their participation to matter, to count. And so you would find a lot of resistance to that sort of thing.
So it's important to live where the smart people live.
That's right. So I hope that answered the caller's question. At least if you have any more questions about that, feel free to ask. But that's what we see going on. That's what we see playing out in front of us. But to get to the political side of this, this is why I say it's a good strategy for Cruz as long as it doesn't become a political issue. But now that it's a political issue, it's not working to his advantage because people look at this and they say, like you said, this is not right.
They're disgusted.
Yeah.
And because he's benefiting by it,
right?
People aren't impressed with that. They are actually kind of turned off by that. And I think that, he's shown some actual softness in his numbers over these last couple of weeks where he should be going up in the polls. He's been going down in the polls, and I think a lot of it has to do with this very issue.
I think you feel like he's a weasel. I understand what he did.
Him look like an insider.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
Here he's supposed to be one of the outsiders, one of the ones who's going to shake up the way things are done, and he's not he's doing things the way things are done to a T.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. That's why I say people who are defending him saying, well, he's doing everything by the rules. This is all fair and square. But people don't like the rules. So that argument doesn't do him any good. It doesn't necessarily hurt him, but it doesn't do him any good.
Now, I was trying to find the latest national poll because it flashed up this morning while I was working, and I think it showed that Trump was like 48, Cruz was like 26.
Yeah,
and Kasich was like 24. Kasich and Cruz were really close now, but Trump had like a 20-point lead nationally.
Yeah. Well, I think you may be talking, that may be a national poll. I saw similar one out of Pennsylvania where Trump is at 40 and Cruz and Kasich are neck and neck, 26, 24 in that order. A Quinnipiac, Connecticut poll shows Trump at 48, Kasich at 28, Cruz at 19. And we had the Survey Monkey poll out the other day, which showed Trump at 46, and he had held steady there, and Cruz had dropped 3 points, and Kasich had picked up 8 points. So there, to me, I think that this whole business and Trump making a big deal out of it like he has, and I think it's hurting Cruz.
Yeah, that turning point was Colorado for sure.
I think so. I think you're absolutely right, because people looked at that and just go, man, this is screwy.
Take away my right to vote.
Yeah. And then turn around and say, oh, well, we did have an election. Yeah, you had an election of delegates who were going
count.
To elect delegates
yeah,
who were going to elect delegates. I mean, it's ridiculous. And we spoke about how the caucus process is meant to actually deter or reduce participation because it's so onerous.
Right.
You know, and this is just another way. When you go, you even eliminate the caucus process. Now you're even eliminating those people from coming out and participating.
But you know what, Chris, we know that obviously Trump understands this is an effective tool because he hasn't slowed down at all banging away on this issue because obviously he keeps spreading northwards. So he is a good one, so keep working it.
Yep. Yeah, he and he's now got the momentum on his side as well. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, maybe we can get another contest entry up and see who is, to you, the most untrustworthy journalist out there right now. All right, who let Hillary out? Put her back. Put her back in the cage.
Chris, do you think she'll ever
Crooked
outlive
Hillary.
That? I hope not. You know, where she was barking and everything. That's going to be a tough
arf,
one.
Arf.
Yeah, I mean, it's very appropriate for her, too.
Well, now she's gotten tagged with Crooked Hillary, so.
I don't think I would relate her to a dog. That's really demeaning to the dog.
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Come on.
All right. Thanks for being with us. In a few minutes, we should go back up on the airwaves. If the Rays can hold on to a lead, they're now up 12-8 in the bottom of the ninth. And hopefully they'll close this thing out and we can get back on the airwaves. But that doesn't mean just because we're on your smart device with your app and the internet that you can't participate in our contest tonight. We've got our first contest entry up. Diane called, and her most untrustworthy journalist is Dan Rather, which is a great guess.
That's very good.
Yeah, because you had the Bush lie about Debbie and everything, and his when he was, you know, the lie was about whether or not he was in the Air National Guard and he showed up and all that, proven to be a lie, and has been caught evidently in 75 lies, according to Diane, throughout his career. And that's only the ones he got caught in.
Is this going to be a TV movie or a real movie, like at the theater?
About him? I believe it's a TV movie.
I know, because I wouldn't pay a dime.
No, you got to be kidding me.
It's sort of like the OJ series, right? Something like that.
That's right. But so anyway, that's our contest for today. You're playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. We'll throw in some bumper stickers. And, of course, we will have a winner by the end of the show tonight. And since you are probably listening on your smart device or the internet, now if you're on the internet, you can't do this, but if you're listening on your smart device, you can participate in today's poll question. And Nick kind of came up with it. Oh, I put a little twist on the question. It's about the $20 bill. Do you think that was the right denomination to put Harriet Tubman on? And I do think it's the right denomination because it bumps off Andrew Jackson, the founder of the Democratic Party, and an overall pretty nasty fella, and puts a woman Republican abolitionist on
there's
there.
A lot of positive to your statement. I agree. I didn't realize he was the that's very good. Okay, Tubbs. I'm all for Tubbs.
Republican gun-toting evangelical.
She's everything woman.
As long as it's not a politically correct depiction of her, right?
Yes.
It's got it should show her as a black woman toting a gun and a Bible. Right?
No, the Tubster.
That's right. That's right. Amen to that.
That's change I can believe in.
All right. So anyway, our contest today is up and running. And the poll question, we'll give you an update later on in the show. And then, of course, we'll have the final tally on that.
Or so we have somebody that has a birthday today.
Yeah, but I want to wait a little while before
I know,
mention
just
it. Yeah.
For those listening.
Yeah. I want to wait till
we'll
we get,
be singing
up, on,
them happy
get
birthday,
up on the airwaves. Know? Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, of course, we mentioned late last time you were here, it was your birthday last time,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, it's come and gone.
Yeah.
Move on from that.
Well, I know how old Danny is because he told me he got his card.
All right. Yeah, but and of course we'll be talking about a great event that you can come out. I'll mention it now and mention it again later on in the show. You can view the movie Streets of Mogadishu with Colonel Danny McKnight and some of us, and it's coming up on April the 30th. That's it's 1 week from this Saturday.
Week from Saturday.
Yeah, 1 week. It's coming up fast on us, and you can get your tickets by going to Eventbrite. And type in Black Hawk Down or the date, April 30th, and look for Black Hawk Down, and you'll be able to get the tickets. The tickets, the only ones available right now are general admission tickets for $25 each. The doors for those will open at 6:30 p.m. The event will begin at 7 p.m. You'll see part of the movie. You said there's going to be an intermission in the movie?
About an hour and 10 minutes into the movie, we'll take intermission, take questions, and I'll have some of my guys there, and one of them's an aviator, one of them is an NCO, a sergeant over there, and me, and we'll answer anybody's questions, and if we don't know an answer, we'll make one up. It's not a problem. So, it's not too hard to answer the questions. The people ask great questions. I've done it before, so that's what we'll do, and then we'll go to the second half of the movie, and then we'll do the same thing at the end, and probably get through about 10 o'clock at night, but it's Saturday night. Nobody has anywhere to go.
One question, is the movie as accurate as the actual situation?
It's about 75%.
75%?
Which I think I applaud jury.
Was it more violent or less violent?
It was more violent.
More violent?
The movie was not as
violent.
The real thing was more violent, yeah. Mm.
All right. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, folks, to view this. It's an excellent movie. And to be able to see it with the men that it was made about. How often do you get that opportunity? This is better than a world premiere. You're not sitting down with the actors. You're sitting down with the people that the actors were depicting in the movie. A rare opportunity. Please take advantage of it. Eventbrite, Black Hawk Down, Saturday, April the 30th. It's going to be over on the Cocoa campus of the Eastern Florida State College. Please be there with us. And please be with us on the other side of this short break. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision 20.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a road.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been listening to the Rays post-game show, you are now listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Radio Show. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. We got the all-star lineup
tonight. A bunch of heavy hitters, you know?
That's right. We got the commanding general of our American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight, with us tonight.
Always happy to be here. Absolutely.
And we also have with us tonight Rick Brown, local businessman and recovering politician.
No place better to be.
And you folks are in the right place, too. If you are listening to the Rays game and you've never heard us before, well, please stick around. Maybe you'll like what you hear here. The Rays are coming off a big victory. Well, at least they salvaged a victory in Boston, 12-8 today. So congratulations to them.
I wonder how cold it was up there. Maybe that's the problem. They should be playing cold weather. You know,
it was actually pretty chilly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It would be pretty nippy up there at this time of the year.
All right, we got the All-Star lineup, and we got our contest going, too. And our contest is...
All right, Chris, I know you have a good entry, and I know the rest of us have a good entry. But as we all know, a few days ago, it was announced that only 6% of the public actually trusted the media. And we all think that's an extremely high figure. So, you know, no one has trust in the media. So what we've decided to do is have a contest and see you will choose somebody from the national media that you believe is totally trustworthy-less. You know, in other words, and there's plenty.
That's right.
There's plenty of them out there. So I'm going to start with Candy Cowley, or as you know her as Candy Crowley.
Uh-huh.
And I think she certainly deserves a look at. I mean, she's the one that ruined Mitt Romney.
She don't deserve a look
at. Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, yeah, not a physical look at. Just for, you know, what a creep she was for what she did to Romney.
And
then,
him,
then Al Sharpton, I love the style. He looks like he always has a pumpkin on his head. I'd like to see him get an army flat top. And then what he could do is he could pay back the government the $4.5 million he owes the American people and stay off the air.
There
now, Chris,
go.
You have one.
Yeah, I picked Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos.
That's a good one, though.
Right? Because he pretends to be a journalist like he was doing this morning, interviewing the Clanton gang, when mm-hmm. he is a member of the Clanton gang, right?
Right.
And Rick's got one.
I had Melissa Victoria Harris Perry. Melissa Harris Perry.
Got to get all those names
fired
in there.
Fired from MSNBC.
Oh, you got to be bad to be fired
be
from
bad.
MSNBC. Curly, you still working on it?
No, I got one.
Okay.
Right. Uh-oh.
And it's a very personal reason, okay? Mm-hmm. Matt Lauer.
Oh, yeah.
He interviewed me one time.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview on, you know, the NBC morning show, whatever they call theirs today, I guess it is, at the time. And he's asking me a question about something that he is seeing a video of, and I'm not.
Right.
And, boy, it lit me up like you would not believe. And when I got off of the air part and he said something to me, I lit him up, okay, because I thought that was about the lowest thing.
Yeah.
So he's right on the top of the list for me. I like him about like George.
There
They're
you
about
go.
The same.
Matt Lauer.
So you consider him. Distrustful, right?
Danny? Very distrustful.
Highly untrustworthy.
Yeah.
All right. Our first official contestant is Diane, and she came in with Dan Rather.
And as we said, that's good. That's a name
that's a
floating
one.
In the past who's trying to stay alive, you know, in respect
because
to the media.
He's such a big liar. 75, at least 75 documented lies he's been caught in throughout his career. And of course, the big one was the Bush lie, which cost him his job at CBS. All right, so that's the bar, so we want to hear your untrustworthy journalist and why. All right, and once again, you're playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, and that is being sponsored by Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. If you got a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry and Janice Shepherd. They will take care of you in that car like nobody's business. And you'll also win a My Liberty Threads t-shirt, compliments of Scott Miller and My Liberty Threads. And speaking of Cafe Positano, very special celebration going on over there tonight because...
Whose birthday is it, Chris?
Pasquale Barba is celebrating his birthday. And, of course, Pasquale is a great friend of ours. He's been sponsoring this show in March, it was 5 years he's been sponsoring this show.
5 years, and we've had 5 years of great food.
Great food, and, of course, that's where we do our eating contest
until
the next one.
Will there be a cake there tonight?
Yeah, or something.
There will be?
Yeah, there'll be something going on over there.
I hope it's ice cream cake.
Yeah, but we want to, of course, wish Pasquale Barba a very, very, very happy birthday.
And you don't have any songs for him or presents. Happy birthday, Pasquale. Oh, you're feeling blue.
Well, you think if they're going to have a cake, who's going to pop out?
This day and age, who knows?
That's the next contest. Who's going to pop out of Pasquale's cake?
That'd be good. So, happy birthday, Pasquale, and many more to you.
Amen.
So that's our contest going on. We've got another eating contest. It's not going to be at Cafe Positano, actually. It's going to be at Tijuana Flats coming up on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo Day. And we'll be celebrating that at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. At what's the mall, shopping mall you said?
It's in the Winter Springs Town Center, which is at the corner of State Road 434 and Tuscarora Road.
That's the Winter Springs Town Center.
Yes, is the name of the complex we're in.
All right, and we'll be there doing a live remote broadcast. But, of course, the place is going to be open all day. You can come by and start celebrating early. And
it's open all day. You bet. We're open. We're open till 10:30 that night, and we'll have live music after we go off the air. We have a great band that's made up of officers from our Winter Springs Police Department, and they are really, really, really good.
And they're going to play like 60s and 70s music. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
Yeah, they're going to rock it up.
Now that you serve beer.
We have a few. We have some beer and wine.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to be on May the 5th. So come on out and join us for that. All right, Colonel. The Pentagon, or at least the administration, released just the other day another, shall we call this, escalation or perhaps re-escalation in our involvement in Iraq. I'm sure you saw the stories. We're sending out more special ops over there. Apache helicopters over there, and evidently they're going to, shall we say, perhaps relax a little bit the rules of engagement, or at least allow our guys now to be more involved in the actual shooting action. Your thoughts?
I think the number was a little over 200, if I remember correctly.
Additional, which means now we'll be back to almost 5,000 American military boots on the ground back in Iraq. And now we know that, indeed, some of them will be involved in combat action, not just there as advisors. And, of course, the Apache helicopters are attack helicopters.
Yes.
They're not meant to carry and ferry troops or supplies.
They're meant to kill people.
Exactly.
pretty, yeah.
That's about all they do.
And see, you know, we're up to about 5,000, which is a good round number to say that. I have no problem with that number. But we got to understand, out of that 5,000, that's not 5,000 fighters, though.
Right.
Because you're going to have, if you got helicopters there, you got, you know, pilots, but you got other people to take care of helicopters, the maintenance stuff. And the same thing, they've got other people that are some regular, the special forces, basically Green Beret guy. Those people are the ones that should be advising. That's what they're really good at, the special forces Green Beret type. When you want to fight, you're going to send special operations, and they're the same in a way, but different because the fighters are the Delta Force guys, the Navy SEALs, the Rangers, and that kind of stuff. So we're sending some more, but we're still not sending enough. If you're going to send, don't send them with half the football team. Send them with the whole dadburn team. And I don't see that happening. I said a long time ago, the only way I thought we could solve this was get boots on the ground. Not something I
wanted to believe in,
in terms of, oh, it's a great thing to do. No, it's going to put people in jeopardy. The problem is if we don't put enough there and put the team, the full team on the field, we're not going to make a difference quick enough. We're letting them, they're going to be prepared to fight. The other bad guys are.
And that was part of the mistake that was made in your mission in Mogadishu. They didn't send the whole team.
No, we had 550 roughly ready to go, and 30 hours before we're going, they decided that 550 was too many. They didn't want it to look like a buildup. They said similar to Vietnam. And that was Bill Clinton, who was the president. He didn't know where Vietnam was because he was a draft dodger.
Yeah.
He had a waiver from the governor.
He had more than one. Yeah.
If you're gonna do it, I just wish they would go ahead and commit to it wholeheartedly. We're about 50% heartedly right now, and that's the way it looks to me.
And 50% is where we're at, and that's 50% is about half, 50% of the forces that our military leaders wanted to leave in Iraq to begin with.
Well, we actually, you know, if we got five, we were supposed to have 10. That's what was left there when President Bush left.
Right.
10,000 was the plan.
Right.
And then that's when Obama became the president, and he brought everything out. Isn't it amazing? Now we're putting them back in there.
That's what
I'm saying. So if he left them there in the first place,
right,
like we've been saying for a long time right here on the show, if we left them in the first place, we probably wouldn't have to be doing what we're doing right now.
No. We may actually be doing the reverse.
That's correct.
I saw a headline today, too, Colonel, that they just used the B-52s in Iraq again. They hit something outside of Mosul in Qayyarah. So I guess that's a further escalation.
Yeah, the B-52s do it pretty well, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see that since the primary has been going on, we'll get to the contest entries here in just a second, but since the primary season has been going on, it's interesting. And now also General Dunford, I believe, is the big difference in what's been going on since he's come to town.
I think
so
there's a gigantic difference because he's the Marine,
right,
chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and he has not been kinder and gentler. He's been trying to make the hard things. But did you see where the vice chief of the commandant of the Marine Corps, the vice, just
vice
stepped
chair.
Down? He stepped out.
Is that right?
He said, I can't do this anymore. I read it yesterday,
and
he said, I cannot do this anymore because we are not doing the right thing. I cannot be a part of this because they're not listening. They're making the decisions on a political side, and that is not how we need to fight and win this. What we're going to win.
Finally,
I admire him
for doing
that. I was
going to say, finally we see a guy doing the hard right thing instead of the easy wrong thing, which would be to just go along.
34 years, something like that, total
career
service time.
Yeah.
Four-star. But I think he was the vice to the commandant of the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Well, all right. Okay, let's get a couple of contest entries in. Al is up next. Al, thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right, so who's your most untrustworthy journalist?
Well, it's a media guy. He ain't a journalist.
That's okay.
And I just got one guy because I think he suffices for about three or four guys.
Sounds good to me. Who is
he? He's a newly self-appointed religious supreme leader, crybaby Glenn Beck.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, that's funny. I even forgot about Glenn Beck. I just don't follow him anymore. He just disappeared in my mind.
That's the Reverend Glenn Beck.
The Reverend, yes. The irreverent Reverend Glenn. I tell you what, he has really put his credibility on the line, hasn't he, Al? I mean, I got sick of it when he started talking about his buddy Ted. I was over at Ted's the other day. I was with Ted the other day. And I'm going, give me a break, my God almighty. All right, Al, excellent entry. You are in, my man.
Do you think he was with Ted when the news came in on the vote from New York?
Yeah.
I was with Ted. We got drunk because we were getting killed.
Oh, man.
That's the way Obama talks about Al, too. I was with
That's
Al.
That's right. I was with Al. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, I tell you what. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll go right back to the content. Contest lines. We got Mike up next, then Susan, and your contest entry too if you want to get in on this thing today. 407-774-8255. Who is your most untrustworthy journalist or media talking head type? All right, that's a good one. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Just a little song there for China, the WWE wrestling diva who passed away today. It was a tragic life.
Again, I have a song for Pasquale. Happy, happy birthday, baby.
happy birthday to Pasquale Barba.
He might not appreciate the song, but it's the effort.
That's right.
That's right. Let's go to the phone lines and get some of our contest efforts. Let's go to Mike, and then we'll go to Susan. Alan, you'll be after that. Thank you, Mike, for calling.
No problem, guys. Thank you. Hey, on the troop thing, if Obama's sending over half of what the military wanted to leave, isn't that a quarter of what they really need?
In other words, we know it's not enough now. And
right, and even less than
that. I know what he's saying. That's funny.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do believe our military commanders wanted to leave even more than 10,000 there. I think they were more than like 20.
Half-assed Obama and Kenyon.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, one last thing. George Stephanopoulos.
All right.
That's my pick. And the reason why is because he donated money to the Clinton Foundation. He never discloses anything. But what set me off is when he's interviewing Carly Fiorina about the Planned Parenthood, he's like, but you didn't actually see them do that. And I'm like looking at the TV. My wife is watching it, and I go, you know what? I didn't see President Clinton soil Monica Lewinsky's dress. I mean, I know he was standing under the desk watching, but it happened.
Standing under the desk. I like that. Yeah. Okay, Mike. All right, you're in the competition.
Mike's rather risque on some of these answers, a swinging guy from South Jersey.
That's
right.
All right, let's see. Susan is next. Susan, thank you for calling tonight.
Okay, am I still on?
You indeed are. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. My pick is Glenn Beck.
Another one
and
for Beck.
The reason why is he always bashes Trump, and he talks about his hemorrhoids on the air. And I personally think that he is a hemorrhoid with eyes. And I want to say Mark Levin also, he bashes Trump, and he loves Glenn Beck. He adores him, and I won't say the other person's name, and I think he's a hemorrhoid.
You're on it, Susan.
Yeah, you got it, baby.
All right. Okay.
That's great. There's a very emotional individual, who goes the whole length and
explain the whole thing. That's right.
Very graphic. Boy,
let's go next to Alan. Alan actually has a comment. Alan, thank you for calling tonight.
All right. Colonel McKnight, question for you, sir. 82nd Airborne. What do you think about them going over there, a part of this 5,000 troops? And I will see you at your viewing of Black Hawk Down.
Well, good. Make sure you come up and say hello to me, okay? Because I'll be there the whole time from start to finish. Don't worry. What do I think about the 82nd going?
Yes, sir.
I think that's a really good. Move, because we can't just use just special operations to do something like this. We'll have enough of them to do what they need to do, but you surely got to have a force that is big enough to fight more than just special operations people, So putting the 82nd in there, I'm sure they are raring to go, too, let me tell you.
Obviously raring to go, and your thoughts on combat jumps. Are there any possibilities?
I don't think that'll be the plan right now at all. I really don't. I think what they're going to do is get boots on the ground, and they'll operate pretty much in that way. But they'll always have that capability, as you know, to be able to, drop in somewhere if they need to. But I think, actually, if they're going to drop in, it's going to be a smaller piece, and that'll probably be your special operations people that do that. But I think the 82nd are definitely. Yep, I think the 82nd is really good to go there, that's for sure.
I would assume that they have, obviously, Black Hawk helicopters and other troop transports that they would be using in a situation like this.
Yeah, and the Black Hawk helicopter is the main one.
And would that be part of the reason why they might have inserted now also Apaches in there to protect those helicopters?
Well, if they're going to go out, you're going to have protection with them. I mean, when we had our
The Apaches Black Hawks, would be the air cover.
Yeah. And when we had our Black Hawks over in Somalia, we had the Little Birds, which are the special ops, but you don't let them go. I mean, even though the Blackhawks have pretty good armament, they have, their guns and stuff, but it's not like having an Apache. So the Apaches will definitely probably be escorting more than likely.
Right. Hey, Alan, are you a new caller? Have you called the show before?
No, I've called before.
Okay.
I've met you before, Chris.
All right. Well, thank you for being out there. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you at the event a week from Friday.
Thanks, Alan. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah. By the way, the event that Alan was talking about is an exclusive showing of the movie Black Hawk Down, which was made about the Task Force Ranger, this mission in Somalia, of course, where Colonel McKnight was there, and he'll be at the movie along with members of Task Force Ranger. So you'll be able to view the movie with the men that the movie was made about, at least some of them anyway. And there'll be question and answer periods, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It'll be at the Eastern Florida State College Cocoa Campus. You can get your tickets simply by going to Eventbrite and type in Black Hawk Down, or type in the date and then look for Black Hawk Down. It's Saturday, April the 30th. The doors will open. These are general admission tickets. They're the only ones left, $25 each. The doors open at 6:30. The event begins at 7. And once again, it's
Tough Guy
Ho! Ho! Now, there's one of our favorite guys, right, Chris?
Hacksaw.
The big hacksaw, buddy.
All right, we're back. We're live. 407-774-8255 is the number, and we're in the midst of our Thursday afternoon contest, the Untrustworthy Journalist Contest. Who do you think is the most untrustworthy journalist? All right, we got another contestant on the line. Let's try to keep it up so we don't get run off the air. But Danny is up next. Let's go with Danny. Danny, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
All right, Danny.
I'm going to give you my reasons first.
All right.
All right, my first reason is the constant bashing of Trump.
Got it.
My second reason is going to be his doom and gloom on the outlook of America.
I think I know who this is, Danny.
Yeah.
Is this?
And my third reason is he cries way too much on the air.
Does his name start with Michael?
No, it starts with Glenn.
Oh, no, another. Boy, this guy, Glenn Beck, I better start listening to this guy. He sounds pretty depressing.
Did we pick it out right?
Well, you almost did, but yes, Glenn Beck is the guy that I'm talking about. I used to listen to him all the time, and I don't know, ever since he had his little injury problems, he's just not the same person that he used to be.
Medication will do that to you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but he's let's just say he's put his credibility way out there on the line.
That's the other thing. I mean, he's riding the wrong horse, and people are going to resent this, based upon how this election goes.
Well, by the sounds of it, people already
are. What am I talking about?
All right.
The obvious.
Riding the wrong horse.
Yes, yep. You're on the wrong horse.
Yeah. All right, Danny, you're in the contest, man. Thank you for being out there. We appreciate you. All right, let's get in another entry. Matt is up next. Matt, thank you for calling tonight. Your entry.
You bet. I was just telling your screener, I don't want to have an entry because I won a couple weeks ago, but I want to throw a name out there for your discussion.
Okay.
And it's Mike Lupica from the TV program.
I remember
Sports
him.
Reporters.
Yep.
He is for a lifetime achievement in converting what should be regular sports dialogue into political correctness.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, Mike's
that
over
is
here.
That is very good.
Yeah. All right, well, you're in the contest. I understand you won a couple of weeks ago, but we'll consider that. But you are in the contest. That's a good one. All right, thank you, Matt. Appreciate you being out there.
I'm surprised he admitted it, because we could have skipped that and not known it.
All right, Colonel, while we have a few minutes here, I want to ask you some more questions. Barack Obama just wrapped up a visit to Saudi Arabia. And when he arrived, they gave him what I'm calling the Castro treatment. In other words, basically, they sent a cab out to pick him up. There was no royal family, big grand welcome. And by the way, this was a Middle Eastern summit. There were leaders from, I believe, the Arab Emirates there, Kuwait, Qatar, and some of the other Arab states. And they got a better welcome than Barack Obama did. First of all, the stature of the president is very important in terms of how our adversaries perceive us, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And this guy has really brought it down to a new low, hasn't he?
And see, I think it's sort of interesting or funny or whatever you want to call it when you think about all that he did initially when he became president to go over to those countries, okay, and he was bowing to people and all of that.
Right.
He did not realize how much that was going to be a disrespectful thing. And I think that's what you've just seen happen now.
Right.
They don't respect him.
No.
They know he is a joke. They know he had nobody's interest at heart but his own interest. And I think that's what they have seen. And so they really consider him probably a joke more than anything else. And I really believe that.
I believe also, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's no question about it. They're dismayed that the American public put him in office twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once maybe, but twice.
Yeah, be stupid. Yeah.
And then he makes this deal with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed the whole political dynamic in the Middle East, where they were, along with Israel, like the big dogs.
Yeah.
And it's not that way anymore with Iran now. And it's all because of Barack Obama. And I believe also that they're puzzled as to whether this is going to be a sort of more of a permanent position for America, or are we going to turn that around, say, with this election, and not elect Hillary or Bernie,
no,
but elect either Ted or Donald or whoever Republicans, if they end up putting somebody else up. And to them, it's very important because they're viewing this as to where not just their relationship with America, but where is America and where are they going to be, that meaning us, in world politics,
right,
going forward.
And see, he didn't – what his goal was, in my opinion, was not to make us the leader of the world like we have been. And I think that to the other countries over there with the Iran thing thrown in there, they're looking at him and saying, what are you doing? You've put this in jeopardy. He's put Saudi. He's put, you know, all of those countries are in jeopardy because of what he did,
right,
with Iran.
Right.
And in a year, he's walking away from it, and he don't have to worry about it. But they do, and I totally agree. And they're probably scared to death that Hillary might be the follow-on.
And here's a question, too. Like today, I noticed four minor headlines. One says, Iran launches another long-range rocket. I mean, in the last couple of days. Nice, right? Number two, Khomeini vows to full support for Hezbollah, right? Number two, North Korea tunneling a main nuclear site to continue the building of their program. And then three, Russia bolsters its sub fleet, most in two decades. Now, you know, obviously, do you think, and Russia also announced today for us to keep out of the Baltic, do you think they might hit one of our boats in the next 4 or 5 months, knowing that our president will back down like a chihuahua?
Huh. Well, we know we've had boats taken already.
Yeah, those
recently.
Right, we know that, right?
Yep, and we didn't really do much about it,
nothing,
did we?
But embarrass ourselves.
Yeah. We've had the Russians flying up and down over the top of our ships out there.
Right.
And have we really seen the president make any real move to challenge that? No. I think something's going to happen, and I don't think he'll do a thing about it.
They'll get that's going to get Trump elected immediately.
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, those two Navy vessels that were detained, we practically thanked them.
Oh, yeah.
For doing that, right? There was John Kerry out there thanking them for the way they treated our sailors and stuff while they were being held with their hands above and their faces were being shown on television, which is against the Geneva Convention, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we thanked them.
Yeah.
And see, these other cultures, they look at that. We joke about it and talk about how he's, you know, the dancing queen and all,
yeah,
but to them that really means something. It's big time.
She is a dancing queen,
but that means something very. Yeah. It's very significant. It's not a joking matter to them.
I think what it shows to the rest of the world is a great sign of weakness on our part.
Right.
That is the number one word I would use. We have shown weakness in every front possible, whether it's over in the Mid East, whether it's Korea, etc. We talk, but we show weakness. And John Kerry, my gosh, why can't we get rid of him too quickly?
And that's what I meant, is that he is us.
Yeah.
And when he looks weak, we look weak.
You're exactly right.
And then that's when they start taking chances,
that's
like
exactly
what you're talking
what
about.
Concerns me in the next 5-6 months, right, something horrible could happen.
Yeah. Because they see our weakness in him.
Yep.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to the phone
Maybe
line.
John will have an answer to
All
this.
All right,
you know?
He's got a contest entry anyway. John, you are up next. Thanks for calling tonight.
Hey, guys.
Howdy,
hey, John.
Howdy.
First of all, John Kerry doesn't look weak. He looks pathetic.
You're right. I was using a kind word. You're right, John.
Yeah, that's right.
And second, Second of all, if you want to be lied to, if you want something spun faster than a F-16 or F-14 hitting supersonic, you just listen to old Josh Earnest.
Ah,
yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
That is true.
Josh.
That is really good.
Josh,
listen to
not
Josh
so Earnest. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a guy that doesn't know
he
the truth.
He can lie 24/7 at a moment's notice and not even blink his eyes.
I tell you, he is pretty good at that. That's for sure.
But don't you,
he just stands there. I mean, it's like it's the truth. I mean, and he knows it's a lie, but he's a very good liar.
I always wonder
that.
How a guy could go home at night and know you're lying so much. I mean that. I don't know where your conscience would
you
be.
You see, it's all...
He graduated top of the class at that.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. But to answer your question, Mike, it's all in the rationalization, you see. The way they rationalize it is they're lying to a bunch of morons who couldn't understand the truth anyway, so what difference does it make, right?
I just couldn't do that.
Lying with a cause.
The lying with a cause. All right, John, excellent contest entry.
That was really good. Really good, John.
All right, like okay. It. All right, we got a few minutes left, so we'll go right up and as late as we can in the show to take the entries, but we will decide on a winner tonight. So if you want to get in on the untrustworthy journalist contest, please give us a call at 407-774-8255. And once again, while we have a few minutes left in this segment, I want to remind you again, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Colonel McKnight, meet some other members of Task Force Ranger, and be able to watch the movie Black Hawk Down with them and be able to ask them questions in question-and-answer periods about the mission and about the movie. And once again, this is a rare opportunity. Please take advantage of it. And there are only general admission tickets left, but you can get those by going to Eventbrite and type in Black Hawk Down, or type in the date, and you'll be able to scroll and find Black Hawk Down. It will be in Cocoa, the Cocoa campus of the Eastern Florida State College. Those general admission tickets are $25, and they're going fast. And this is limited seating, obviously, in a theater, so you need to get those tickets. Don't dilly-dally around, or you might find yourself left out in the cold for a very, very special event. And all the proceeds are going to the St. Baldrick's Foundation, which you were telling us.
Pediatric Cancer for Children.
Pediatric Cancer for Children. They research and try to it's a great organization, and it's a great opportunity. Please take advantage of it. All right, back to our conversation. You said that a Marine commandant stepped down, said he just can't do it anymore. He can't play this, you know, tiddlywinks game when we're up against the Islamic State, and then go around and play like we're actually making gains. When you see that we're actually putting now more troops back into Iraq, of course, we knew this was probably going to be necessary at some point, but do you think that that's a good sign or a bad sign overall, given this president and the other circumstances?
I think what he's allowed by doing that is he's trying to let people know, see, I'm not weak. I'm sending people over there. Well, if you want to show strength and you want to show those countries we were just talking about that feel they've been let down by us,
right,
because of what he did with Iran, et cetera, if you really want to make a difference, put about 20,000 in there, wipe ISIS out, get it done, and then come back home if that's what you want to. But do it. You know, don't do it for 5,000. It is not going to completely take care of it.
Right.
I just don't think so. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't believe that's going to work. Mm-hmm. Because out of that 5,000, you've probably got half of them that are the real war fighters.
Right, exactly. I believe in World War II, the ratio was something like 8 or 10 to 1. In other words, it was a large number of support for the actual fighting force that was out there doing the battling.
Yep, and you have to have that support force, but they're not the ones that are fighting. So out of 5,000, we say there, how many of them are really fighting? 2,500, 3,000 maybe.
At tops.
At the most,
right.
Yeah. And, you know, if we're going to do it, let's just make a statement and get it done. Problem is, we should have made that statement 2 years ago, mm-hmm, when this thing became an issue.
Right.
And, you know, that's when I had the opportunity to be on Neil Cavuto's show and talk about that. But we let it go. We let it go. And now we're trying to fix it.
Are you concerned that the same thing is happening in Afghanistan? Even though we still have some troops there, it's not enough, evidently.
We got about 8,000, I think, roughly, what's still there right now.
And that's a pretty large country, geographically speaking.
And we have seen the Taliban has been doing some pretty ugly stuff again, too.
Yeah,
right.
Just the other day.
Yep, just the other day.
Exactly. Another thing, Danny, too, they were talking about the Marine Corps. You know, just in the news the other day, it's like 30% of the Marine Corps' Hornets are operational. The rest of them, they don't have parts. They don't have mechanics to work on them. I mean, you talk about stripping the service down.
That is the status of our military.
I mean,
it has been brought down so bad.
This is such a scary period for people who are cognizant that if we don't have a strong military, it's bye-bye to the public. These people, they're worried about what bathroom they use. You better worry about being alive about the next year or so.
Well, I remember when there was a president named Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're lower than that, which is hard to believe.
That's when I was in. Yeah. And all I know is for 4 years, it was awful. You didn't have the ability to train. You didn't have the ability to shoot. You didn't have the ability to do the things you needed to do because we were so, so poor. And then we had a guy named Ronald Reagan. Thank God it came along and put our country back to what we really are.
So, and so we need to do something like that again and pronto. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, if you have a contest entry, call us right now because we will make a decision on who the winner is before we go off the air. And we'll give you the final poll tally. Was the $20 bill the correct bill to be for Harriet Tubman to replace the current president or whoever's on the bill?
And we got a taco eating contest group coming.
We'll mention that again.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry for that. So
mention it
so I can celebrate.
Colonel McKnight was just at the Best Ranger competition. I want to hear how that went. All right, we want to hear those contest entries. Call now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. If you've got a contest entry, please call us right now at 407-774-8255. Speaking of competitions, though, recently you said just a week or so ago you were up in Georgia at the Best Ranger competition.
Drove up on Thursday. Competition started Friday and it ended Sunday. And I have not been able to check and found out what team won. They started with 50 teams. That's what they start with. And these are all the service in terms of National Guard puts people in, reserves put people in, but they all have to be Ranger qualified to be a participant. It's two man teams. And after the first on Friday was the first event, they were going to have a parachute jump out of helicopter spot jump for points and stuff, but it rained, so that sort of knocked it out. That night they had they'd already done the PT test that morning, an obstacle course that morning, a run that morning, and so they got a little break by having that rain thing. That night they did the road march, about 40 miles, I think is what it was. If
40 miles?
Yeah.
Jeez. With backpacks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything.
I feel like a pencil geek up there.
The next day after that was done, the teams left were 26. They lost 24 then.
After the first day of competition.
And then the second day on Saturday, they do a lot of technical stuff and everything. And then they do another, not road march, it's an orienteering course, but it's about the same difficulty as road marching because you're going to find points. They did that night. We left at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning because I had to get to the airport to fly to Baltimore. So I don't know the final day and don't know
what happened.
But the final day, after they finished the orienteering, they would go through the 1.5-mile-long Darby Queen obstacle course.
What's the Darby Queen?
Oh, it's a mile and a half long. There's 26 obstacles that you have to negotiate.
Oh, wow.
And they are physically challenging beyond
each
belief.
Each one, yeah.
Yep. And then after they did that, then they would get on helicopters and they would fly and they would jump into the pond, Victory Pond, it's called. They would have to have prepared their equipment with a raft built out of their ponchos. And hopefully you do it right because if it sinks, you're done. You have to swim to the shore with you and your buddy. You get that out. Then the next thing you do is what's called a two-event thing. You climb up a pole, go across a log walk that's about 12 inches wide, and there's three steps in the middle you have to go over.
And I remember when I did that in Ranger School, I said, I'm going to die here today. I can see this right now. But they are so good, some of them, they jump over the top and don't touch the steps.
Oh, Lord.
And that increases their makes their time better. They get out, they climb out, they drop in the water, then they go over to another climb of 75 feet high, and they do the slide for life. And it's really the same thing kids do at places. And then after they did that, the last thing they get to do is their buddy run, which is a 3.5 mile run, and that's the final event. Let me tell you, when those 3 days are over, they probably have had 5 or 6 hours sleep.
Now, what do they eat during that time, Danny? Nothing.
They provide them like calorie food, and there is only certain things they can have of their own. Everybody's the same. They can't
bring a bunch of energy bars.
5 hour energy. Yeah. I can't do that.
No Red Bull.
I'm curious because this past year the Army made a big deal out of. Well, actually, not the Army so much as the Pentagon and the administration made a big deal out of some women going through Ranger training, getting Ranger qualified. Were they in the competition?
No, the first two that went through were not. I think it's the third one that was. Considered an alternate. That meant if one of the team went down, but you have to do that at the beginning. You can't have to make that decision early on.
Right.
And so she did not get in, and I think they only did it anyway to make it look cool. I really do. And this competition, this was the 27th year of it, I think it is, and it's named the David E. Grange Jr. Best Ranger Competition. I was his aide for 18 months. That's Lieutenant General David E. Grange Jr., and I was his aide in Korea and at Benning. 18 months. He's like my second father. Our birthdays are the same day. He just turned 91 himself.
He's still with us.
Oh, yes. He's still with us. Yeah. And it's named after him. So I always go so I can get to see my second father. That's what I call him.
Real quick, you said that one obstacle course had a name. What was it?
The Darby Queen is what
it's
named.
Why do they call it the Darby Queen?
Well, the Darby is named after William O. Darby, of great fame. And I think the name is a queen because it's all guys trying to whip it. And they figured they named it the queen because it is not very kind, let me tell you, okay?
All right. Okay, we need to make a decision. We have to choose a winner for our contest tonight. So, Nick, we'll start with you, and then you need to find out the results for the poll. We'll get to that here in a second.
Well, I'm going with the guy who used to be one of my favorites, and apparently everybody's along the same lines as I've been thinking recently, Glenn Beck.
Now, we had three contestants, though, with Beck. And
Well, that means I'm making you give out extra prizes.
No.
Actually, Colonel McKnight, do you have a preference?
Who do I think should be the winner?
Yeah.
I didn't think of it. I wish I had it. Glenn Beck. My Lord.
One of the Glenn Beck ones.
I've got to go with the trend.
Yeah, Mike?
Now, when was the last one right there?
Josh Earnest.
Josh? I think that was pretty funny. I'm going to go with that.
Well, the problem is we've already been
outvoted. I know, we're dead men anyway. I know.
Unless we want to go with the delegate system here. I thought I would participate and be social, okay? Maybe we'll go with the delegate situation.
When am I released? After the first or the second vote?
I'm going to go with...
That's right. This is the second
time around. Your vote will count, Mike. Your vote will count.
I'm going to go with Susan's Glenn Beck.
Oh.
All right, because she's the one who said that he talks too much about his hemorrhoids.
Right. That's hilarious.
Yep. All right, so congratulations to Susan, but congratulations to all of you out there. We really appreciate your participation. Speaking of participation, what does our poll question show us, Nicholas Cicero?
Looks like they made the right choice. Harriet Tubman should go on the $20 bill replacing Jackson. He was in first place. In second place was Grant on the $50 bill and Hamilton on the $10. And then there were a few votes for Franklin on the $100.
All right.
So none for Obama on the $3 billion bill.
None for Obama on the three.
He'll do that just before he leaves office. Oh. Okay.
That's right. Okay, once again, Black Hawk Down, Saturday, April the 30th, and you can get your tickets at Eventbrite. And don't forget, you can get a copy of Colonel McKnight's book, Streets of Mogadishu, by going to his website, DannyMcKnight.com, and he will autograph that book for you. And don't forget to join us on Cinco de Mayo at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs, 434 and Tuscola Boulevard. And we'll be having a taco-eating contest. It'll be a lot of fun.
And books will be available at the movie. I will be there with my books, and that way there's more proceeds for St. Baldrick's.